RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
MP on the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. We're always worldwide on the free Odyssey app. Always giving you a chance to win. Awad's got Wizards tickets this week. Listen up. He's 10 to noon. I'm 10 to noon. He's noon to 3 at Capitol Ale House. I will be giving out King's Dominion tickets. Four-pack of King's Dominion tickets coming in this program between now and noon. Listen for the cue to win. Call in, and you could be one of the first to ride Raptera. King's Dominion opens this weekend. Raptera is the new fixed-wing coaster with a wild launch. The videos are already making the rounds online. We want to send you out to go be one of the first to ride Raptera. So listen for your chance to win. VCU can listen and win a new basketball coach today. That's the main topic in town, of course. I'm going to make a little bit of time for the Commanders. We'll catch up on them after a couple busy weeks of VCU basketball. And those are the two main topics. But I want to start with the Sweet 16 being set and a tournament that has been referred to as a bit of a dud so far. But I disagree. I don't disagree. It's been a dud so far. It's been an absolute dud so far. Yesterday was easily the best day of the 4 days of basketball that we've had. You had early the I think the UConn Florida game is certainly best game of the tournament so far. The Maryland game was an exciting finish. UConn Florida best game of the tournament so far. And then you had some other games that stayed close for longer than most of them have. There've been some blowouts. The better teams have been winning. Here's why I'm not despairing today. We'll turn the corner. It's Monday. What's up, everybody? Happy Monday to you. A new week begins. And with it, we're going to have a heck of a Sweet 16. We really are. We're going to have a dynamite Sweet 16. I don't see a lot of duds in these matchups here. I see 8 great Sweet 16 matchups coming at you Thursday and Friday night. So, yes, there were no upsets. Yes, that's boring. We love it when the 15 seeds win. Yes, this is about as historically chalk as it's been. We've got no small conference teams. That bugs me a little bit. I think that goes back to their being denied access to this tournament because the big teams won't schedule them. And in turn, that reflects on the strength of schedule. And the committee says, oh, strength of schedule is what matters. I think we need to create more pathways for access for these small teams. I don't know how you could have watched. What was it for? UC San Diego, Michigan. That was where we were. I don't know how you could have watched that game and said, we don't need small conference teams in. I get that they didn't win. But dang if they don't make this tournament fun, right? That's what this is all about. Is the Cinderellas the first weekend. There weren't a lot of them, so there weren't a lot of games where they were playing in, and then they ended up on the wrong side of most of them. That's not just like, somebody's going to, I said this last week, everybody's, the SEC, if they win, it's true, they're the greatest conference ever. If they lose, they're overrated and they're overhyped. Nah, it's madness. We call it madness for a reason. The reason is we throw 68 teams in a blender, send them all over the country to places they've never been, arenas they've never played in, against teams stylistically they've never seen, and we let them duke it out on short notice with each other. That's not a way to determine anything. That's just a way to have a really fun month of basketball. Don't judge the SEC. Yeah, the SEC did well. They put 7 in. Don't judge the SEC. based on whether they win or lose this tournament. Because also, now we get to 16, they're all good now. Every team remaining is good. There are no flukes here. So, yeah, dud weekend, absolutely, I'll give you that. But I think the long-term upside is very strong for this men's basketball tournament. I think this is about as good of a Sweet 16 as I've ever seen, and I'm holding out hope. Now, I'll say this, the other thing, the reason why I think people have the perception that this has been a bad tournament, the scheduling, which is it's this way every year, Saturday and Sunday, they put three games on between noon and 7 p.m. So it's 7 hours, three games of basketball. And then they put the rest of the games on, boom, 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 five games in that 7 to midnight window. And Saturday night, people out doing things. Sunday night, people are getting ready. They got Sunday scary, is that what they call it? Getting ready for Monday. So I think the scheduling plays into that. You had some good games last night that I think a lot of people didn't see. But you had a dud game involving Duke on from 3 to 5. That was the only thing America could watch. This is the NFL principle as well. I talk about this all the time with the NFL. The thing about the NFL is it works on Sunday at 1 because there's a lot of it. If you have 5 mediocre football games, you don't have anything. But if you have 5 mediocre football games ending at the same time, you have red zone chaos and people checking their phones and checking the scoreboards and going wild. It's different, right? It's different when it happens. It's sensory overload. And the tourney's first 2 days are sensory overload. That's why we love it. Unfortunately, we got overloaded with 20-point games, which is why people are kind of down about this. But when you go to the single game format, if that single game's a dud, what people are going to take away is, meh, tourney was boring. And I get why they do it. They want people watching the commercials. They want people flipping around. But take the lesson from the NFL, right? Everybody dogs on Thursday night football. Thursday night football is not any worse than Sunday 1 o'clock football. But there's only one game. You can't escape it. On Sunday, you can escape it. There's all the games. And there's one of them's going to be an exciting finish. And that's the one you're going to watch. And that's the one you're going to remember going forward. So I think that played a role in it as well. Shout out to Maryland. Big finish there. That was one of the exciting ones. And then UConn, Florida, the exciting one as well. Sweet 16 is set. Thursday night, here's what we've got. We're starting with Alabama, BYU. BYU, of course, knocked VCU out of this men's basketball tournament. I think that Alabama is absolutely national title caliber, but I think BYU is playing some hot basketball right now. I think BYU beating Wisconsin, doesn't ease the pain. I get that, of the VCU loss. We'll be stinging from that for a while, but it validated, certainly, I think, my Friday morning take, which is BYU is a really good team playing at a really high level right now. BYU is rolling, and that's tough to go against in March. Not that there were things VCU couldn't have done, because there were, but I think BYU played a near perfect weekend of basketball, and I think them losing to Duquesne last year was probably the wake-up call they needed for this year. In terms of getting them dialed in, getting them focused. Yeah, you lose a game like that, you spend 12 months thinking about it, prepping on it, getting ready for it. This is a team that came to March ready to go. This is a team that came to March ready to dominate. And so I'm excited to see them give Alabama a game. I think that'll be a fun one. You've also got Florida, Maryland, early block on Thursday. Reminder, you'll hear all these right here. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. Florida, Maryland. Maryland with that dramatic finish over, the Derek Queen and the lift and the floater right after Colorado State hit what I think would have been the iconic shot of the tourney, that three. What a pass that was to set up that three. They were the last hope for the mid-majors, it turned out, after New Mexico lost later in the night. Hit the three, did everything they could do. That's a really talented Maryland team. As mentioned, Florida can play some ball. They survived UConn, which was a survive and advance game if there ever was one. Doesn't get any easier from here. They got a tough bracket as a one seed. UConn and now Maryland, who can give them a game as well. So that's a great early window. Late window, Duke, Arizona. The subplot here, Caleb Love, who is a part of those North Carolina teams, is in Arizona. And he knows what it is to beat Duke. He knows what it takes to beat Duke, and he's playing really good basketball right now for the Wildcats. Duke will be taking this one fully seriously. The Caleb Love factor makes this interesting for me. Duke, on the other hand, is steamrolling people. That is the best team in America for my money right now. If you're repicking the bracket, what are we doing? Don't repick the bracket. Let it lie. Just enjoy the games now. But Duke is the number one team in America right now. For my money, Auburn, going to win. They're a good team. I think they deserve the standing they've got. But I think right now, if you're saying who's the best basketball team in America, it's Duke. And certainly of the teams remaining in this tournament, it's Duke. That said, tough draw. Caleb Love has been a little bit of kryptonite for them. They will have their work cut out for them against Arizona. So that's going to be a fun game. And then you got Texas Tech and Arkansas in the late game. Little less juice on this one in terms of name brand recognition. Just know Texas Tech held its own in the Big 12 all year, which was a great conference. And Arkansas is coached by John Calipari, who's been waiting for this moment for a little while. We talk about the importance of a March moment. Calipari's needed one for a while. Lack of success in the tourney got him run out of Kentucky. Took his boys down to Arkansas. Now it's the 10 seed. They pull the upset on Patino. Move into the Sweet 16. If they could keep advancing, what a signature moment for them and for everybody at Arkansas after that major investment bringing Calipari. I don't know if you remember this, the Tyson Chicken money. The guy behind Tyson Chicken, which is based in Arkansas, paid for a very nice team for John Calipari, and he's making the most of them in March. That's going to be a fun game as well, the late one Thursday night. So you got four good games Thursday night. Friday, Michigan State taking on Ole Miss is the opener. Tom Izzo, March, looking for number two. He's got all the Final Fours he can handle. He's closing in on double-digit Final Fours, but only one national title, and he's got a team that I think he thinks can win it all this year. Going up against Ole Miss, the SEC, of course, proven itself this year and in this tournament, which would be a great opener. Tennessee, Kentucky, just good old-fashioned SEC showdown right there. They played twice this year. Kentucky won them both. Kentucky playing some really good basketball right now. Don't sleep on Tennessee, of course. It's one of the nation's very best teams. That will be a fun game. A little SEC rematch there. Then your late window Friday, Auburn, Michigan, and Houston, Purdue. I do think Auburn and Houston probably both cruise over the Big Ten teams there. I think that's the weakest of the four TV windows here over the weekend. But it's good teams. It's nothing but good teams. We survived the dud. We survived the dud, and that's okay because we're being rewarded on the other side with some great matchups, some great games, some fun madness to keep track of. Also this week, baseball opening day. Nats will get underway on Thursday at Nationals Park, so that's coming our way. But the major topic, of course, VCU, what are they going to do about this head coaching position? We will dive into that. We'll give out Kings Dominion tickets. We'll do it all. It's Monday morning. You're listening to MP on the Mic. This is 910 The Fan. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. Thanks for joining us on a Monday morning. Tiger Woods has a new girlfriend. We'll dive into that and the absurdity of the Tiger Woods situation later on in the show, but I promise we get to VCU, and I do want to get to VCU pretty close to right out of the gate here because obviously big things are happening there. Let's start with this. Ryan Odom leaves. Now six consecutive coaches that have made the NCAA tournament at VCU, and now six consecutive coaches that have said, we're off to bigger and better. It's frustrating because of how quickly it happens. It's 2 years of Ryan Odom. It's 2 years of him building the team, us enjoying the team, and now Poof, it all starts again. And good on UVA. I think they made a very nice hire. You're dealing with the unknown here. Ryan Odom, and this is part of it too. It's not about track record anymore. It's about hype, and that's not an insult to Ryan Odom. The hype is justified. He's a very good basketball coach. And we'll turn this on VCU too, but Ryan Odom has one tournament win lifetime. It's against UVA, and it's as the 16 seed. By all accounts, he's a very good young coach, but they clearly, UVA came to this agreement with Ryan before the tournament, and before we knew if VCU would make the tournament. Because as we learned, if they didn't win in D.C., they weren't going to make the tournament, which was going to be a travesty for sure. But, you know, there's a chance UVA was going to take a guy who had zero NCAA tournaments at VCU on his resume. And that's not dogging Ryan Odom. Again, he's a very good basketball coach, but this whole thing is very hype-driven now, is very reputation-driven. Same with VCU. Every year, VCU's name pops up, and Chuck and Kenny and Seth Davis say, ah, VCU, you love them to get out of the first round. VCU's a team that can pull some upsets. And by the way, VCU could have beaten Wisconsin yesterday. There you go. There's my, or on Saturday. There's my hot take. VCU could have beaten Wisconsin on Saturday. I really do think that. I think watching BYU handle them, I think VCU could have played that game as well. But BYU was dang near untouchable. But, you know, every year it's the hype of the VCU name. Oh, VCU, they're going to make some noise. Always watch out for the Rams. Haven't won a tourney game in almost a decade now. Next year is going to be the 10-year anniversary of the last time they won a tourney game. It's all hype-driven now, and unfortunately for VCU, that's going to perpetuate the cycle. If VCU hires a coach today, that person immediately becomes shortlisted for all the best jobs next year. It's not fair. That's the way of the world, though. Whoever VCU hires, by virtue of being the VCU basketball coach, becomes, oh, that person's going to go big. That person's absolutely going to bigger and better things. Because they're VCU's coach. VCU knows how to pick them. There's no waiting to prove it. There's no waiting for the proof. Okay. Win some tourney games, do the Shaka, then we can talk about whether you should be going to the next level or where you get. It's straight up hype. You're the VCU coach. Oh yeah, you're going places. You're going places. You're gonna end up in a great job. Going to the big time. And that's the part that stings, because we haven't seen anybody develop this place into anything recently. Ryan Odom, great team, assembled a great team, loved the style, loved him. Please don't take any of this as disparaging towards him. This is a system that's taken a VCU coach and dropping him in a bigger job every 2 years. And this is the frustration that I think we felt most acutely after Will Wade left, that's coming back. I wrote, back when I was a writer, I wrote for the Richmond Times-Dispatch, when Mike Rhodes left, I said, we're ripping off the Band-Aid. Nobody's going to stay. Mike Rhodes was the guy who was going to stay. That's why he was hired. There was reaction to Will Wade leaving, and justifiably so. And the fan base wanted somebody who would stay and would be the face of the program and somebody they could build around. They found that guy. He was Mike Rhodes. He left for a lot of reasons, and he did not ever have the success that I think we were all hoping he would have at VCU, and that played a role as well. You know, it's a two-way street. If you're not performing, the fans get antsy. But when he left, I said, it's over. Nobody's staying in this job. It's just not going to happen. And there's a lot of good reasons for that. Good reason number one is, you know, it's hard. It's really hard. And it's not getting easier. VCU is incredibly well-resourced. The Pete Thamel story that announced that Ryan Odom was leaving, which, you know, hey, you want to break the news, you got to carry the water a little bit. And I don't disagree with what he said, but Pete Dunne said VCU is one of the best positioned mid-majors because they don't have a football team and they're very well set up to invest in their basketball team. Those things are true, but also it's getting hard to hang on to guys as well. It's not; these aren't the days where you can find Joey Rodriguez and Mo Alie-Cox, and you know you'll have them for multiple years. It will not surprise me if Luke Bamboy is playing in a different uniform next year. I don't like that. You don't like that. That's the way of the world. These coaches know. If you're a VCU and you've got a guy, he's going to the Power Five. He's going to the schools that, and it's not just about money, but it's about prestige as well. He's going to a school where he knows he can play in the tournament. He's going to a school where he can be on TV and on College game day every week, because that's what they need to do for their career. And you can't do that at VCU. And so I'm not blaming any of the coaches who have left. I get it. It's hard. You build a team every year, and you hope and you fight and you scrap to make the tournament. And by the way, the deck's stacked against you because VCU handled its business for a three-month chunk of this season. They lost in Charleston, didn't play their best in Charleston. We all see that. But, man, they were dominant from early January to mid-March and going back into mid-December, too. And then all of a sudden, it's, oh, well, you know, A-10, that's a one-bid league. Better go win your conference tournament. Better handle your business at the conference tournament. Otherwise, you're not going to get to be a part of this. Whew. That's a lot. You recruit the team, you coach the team, you have to be really good on one weekend in March, and then the season ends, and everybody leaves, even though you've got the money. It's brutal. It's brutal out there. And so that's all I'm saying about this job is I get why they leave. I get why they go to the ACC, why they go to the Big Ten, to why they go to the SEC, because there's so many resources. It's so much easier. Ryan Odom is going to have to rebuild a team this year at VCU. He was going to have to go to on the circuit and talk to the transfers and talk to the recruits. And, you know, that's easier to do when you're wearing an ACC polo. It is. And it's not fair. And it's a wildly unfair system. Everybody sees that now. You add in that you can't schedule good anymore. You add in that these MTEs are dying because we have super conferences and the rule is it's one team per conference. So even if you get the right MTE, you're maybe looking at two games instead of three against power conference teams. If you're lucky, if you're good, if you win in that moment, you look at the way the seedings were given. Gonzaga was underseeded this year. VCU was underseeded this year. San Diego is underseeded this year. It's happening across the board to everybody at this mid-major level, and it's tough. And I feel for the VCU fans because they deserve a consistent, stable winner. They've supported this team for years, the ups and the downs, and they have an administration that's fully committed and fully invested in the basketball program and in giving the basketball program the resources it needs to succeed.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
It's all there. It's a great job, but unfortunately, it's also a great job because you get to launch to the next job with it. And that's the thing that stinks about it. Look, yeah, Sweet 16. It's all power conference teams. It's all power conference teams in the Sweet 16. And it tells you what you need to know about the desirability of this job. We'll talk about candidates. We'll talk about who's next, what that might look like. But first, let's give somebody a chance to ride Raptera. Kings Dominion opens this weekend. We want to give out a four-pack of tickets to Kings Dominion, the Raptera roller coaster opening at Kings Dominion. If you've seen the videos, it looks insane. It looks like a ton of fun. Megan and I were talking about this on Friday. We'll be out there. We'll be riding it. You can win right now four-pack of tickets to Kings Dominion. Here's what I need you to do. Call the number 833-804-0910. We're going to give away a four-pack of tickets to Kings Dominion every day this week. First caller, 833-804-0910. Hook you up with tickets to Kings Dominion. We're back with more MP on the mic right after this. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM Monday morning. What's up? Thanks for hanging out with us in here, out there, around the world, in the free Odyssey app. It's a VCU coaching search day. I think this is probably the biggest day of the coaching search. Of course, we'll keep you posted as these go. I reflected on Ryan Odom in our last segment. Matt Shelton-Ide does VCU Ram Nation. This was his tweet yesterday. The VCU coaching tree looks great on paper, but for F's sake, can someone please get us to the second weekend in the NCAA tourney? I'll settle even for a first round win. I think that's where we're at right now. I think that's the frustration. Is everybody nationally, if you go nationally, say VCU basketball, people are like, that's a great program. They're good. They're winners. They produce great coaches, great athletes. I always pick them in March. They haven't won a tourney game in 9 years. And so this reputation is slowly strangling them, is the point I was making. I say, Matt makes it very well too. Is we're told what a great treasure we have here, and we got to go through this every 2 years. Got to find a new coach, got to reload, got to have a rebuilding year. Then you have your tournament year, and it's one game in one place, and we fly to Denver, and there's all the hype, and there's all the hoopla, and BYU plays a great game, and that's it. It's over, and the whole thing's done. And so much is put into March in college basketball. So much is made of March that it can feel like all or nothing. And there was a great season. There was a really fun basketball season with tons of great performances. And this was one of the best basketball teams in the country, the way they were dominating in January and February. And then at the A-10 tournament, gritting out some tough wins to make the tournament. And then all of a sudden, somebody unplugged it. We got to plug it back in and reboot it. We got to take out the cartridge, blow on it, restart VCU basketball again. That's the frustration. Can somebody please just get us a first round win? We know we're good. We know we're storied. But man, it we'd like to see those things instead of just hearing them. I get the frustration of the fan base. I do this morning. I hear your frustration. It just feels like we got nothing to grab onto. Things are going well. It's unquestionably a great, well-run program. Eddie Mack, Ed McLaughlin, who is the athletic director, does a great job. Norwood Teague before him, of course, did a great job. They invest. They find the right people. They put the right resources into it. But I'll give everybody their moment of frustration today. Dang, it's frustrating. And it's rough because it sure doesn't look like it's getting better. It sure looks like the power conference teams are consolidating around, we play at one level, you play at another. They're kind of recreating 1A and 1AA in basketball right now. The four of them and maybe the fifth with the Big East are taking their ball, and they're not playing with everybody else. They're taking the tourney spots. They're taking the non-conference scheduling. And I get it. If you want to have a moment of frustration, have a moan of frustration this morning. I will allow that. And we're all going through that as VCU fans as they dive into another coaching search. There will be excitement. They're going to pick a winner. It's going to be, you know, they'll pick a great coach and he'll get a team of talented players in and we'll have some fun. But in this moment right now, where you're supposed to be in the afterglow of a great tournament season and instead it gets unplugged again, I get it. I totally get that frustration. Makes total sense to me. Thank you for calling in on the King's Dominion tickets. We're going to give those away every day this week. That means Tuesday, we're going to give away King's Dominion tickets. Wednesday, we are scheduled to give away King's Dominion tickets. Thursday and Friday, I just checked, we'll have King's Dominion tickets. So stay tuned in. We'll make sure you get you hooked up on that front. Let's talk about candidates, though. Because I think that's where everybody's attention is this morning. Now, let's just start here. Richard Pitino, coach at New Mexico. I dropped that name for you on Friday night. If you got the bonus podcast, I dropped that name for you. It grew a little bit of steam over the weekend. I've been told that he wants out of Albuquerque, that he's ready to get to the East Coast. For a lot of the things we were talking about at VCU, with the name brand, with the recognition, New Mexico should have those things. And certainly their arena is storied. But they, for whatever reason, you live in a vacuum out there. Your games start at 10 o'clock at night out here. It's tough to get the attention you deserve. He's a coach of the year. He should be able to jump to a big name school. And Villanova's courting him. So it's not a sure thing, obviously, here. He should be able to jump to a big name school, but instead, I think this is the Ryan Odom story, right? There's this perception, I got to get to the East Coast so I can get on TV, so I can get in the right time zones, so I can get to the right events, get in front of the right people, that you just kind of feel if you're on the West Coast, you're lost out there and you're not heard from, which is unfair, but probably true for Richard Pitino, who's ready to launch his career. Certainly coach of the year honors out there tell you how good he is. But feels like he's got to get back to the East Coast. Now, they lost late last night. I'm sure they were on a late night flight back. They'll sleep in this morning. So I would guess no movement until early afternoon. And luckily, AWOD's with you, noon to 3. AWOD's right down the street. He's at Capitol Ale House in Innsbruck today doing his show, noon to 3. Obviously, if anything happens, either of us, we'll keep you posted, or both of us will go on the air, whatever the situation calls for. If there's action, if there's white smoke, we're going to be on the air telling you about it. I'm saying maybe a lay low morning here as Richard Pitino gets his New Mexico season wrapped up. You saw that from Ryan Odom, right? Came back, wrapped up his business with VCU, met with the players, then put out, I'm leaving for UVA, which everybody kind of knew behind the scenes, but it was a quick announcement, but he took the time to meet with everybody and do the things inside the building he needed to do. If Richard Pitino does that, of course, given time zones, etc., you're not going to hear anything until probably late afternoon today. I've focused on him. I know a lot of the fans want Darius Theus. I get that too. That's the impulsive reaction to what we've seen. That's the impulsive reaction to, I just want a guy who will stay. Just give me somebody to cling on to this, that we can keep on the boat. That's not going to fall off the boat. That's not going to leave us. I get that. And you won't hear me say a bad word about Darius Theus. Great basketball player. Has been a rock for this program. Has seen the way things are done in here. So Darius Theus, I think, is a great candidate for this position, if that's what you're looking for. If you're looking for a guy who's going to come in, keep things steady, knows how VCU runs, I think he's a great candidate. I think Pitino is the opposite of that. And yes, he's Rick Pitino's kid, which if you watch the St. John's game, they mention that many hundreds of times. He's a guy who will do this for a couple of years and leave, but this could also be symbiotic name relationship building. What's the one thing VCU can do right now to enhance its lot in life? It's not hire a great coach. It's not get a star player. It's get to the Big East. If VCU can get to the Big East, It's a whole new game for them. That opens up new avenues. Big East schools got $7.2 million in TV money last year for basketball. So it's the place they need to be. And it's so far been inaccessible to them. And so is how do you get to the Big East? Winning a lot. And these guys do win a lot. Big fan base. VCU certainly got a great fan base. Fit in culturally with the other schools. I would say that's a stumbling block, right? You've got a lot of smaller private religious affiliated schools. Nothing you can do about that. You're not going to change who VCU is fundamentally. Navigate the geography of it all. I'm sure Georgetown would be unhappy to have to share the Virginia market, but I don't think Georgetown's been relevant in a long time. And name recognition, right? If you had two Patinos in the same division, okay, now that's something you can sell to Fox. Now that's something you can sell to the TV partners. And so I think that's, you know, if you're looking for the selling points, one, he's a great coach. Yes, he's only going to be here a couple of years. Everybody sees that. But what can he do for you during that time? If he can get you a half step closer to the Big East, well, I really like that because I like the idea of being in the Big East because I think that's the logical next step forward for this program. The Hampton-Sydney crew, Russell Turner's the coach at UC Irvine. I think he'd be a fine pick, certainly. You know, you go back to that Hampton-Sydney well. It's been so good for them in the past. You got Ryan Odom coming from there. Griff Aldridge at Longwood, who knew Ryan Odom. He's leaving Longwood to go be the assistant at UVA. They call that the Richie McKay in the business. Maybe he'll be coaching Liberty in 5 years. So Russell Turner, I think, if you're looking for Virginia ties, continuity, that's a good one. I don't know that continuity is most important because I don't think there is any continuity. Remember Calipari last year when he went to Arkansas? I met with the team. There is no team. That's where we're at right now. Whoever's new here, they're going to meet with the team, and there is no team. They're going to have to rebuild. So, hey, why not rebuild with the best? Know who you are, know where you're at, and it's unfortunate, but that's where we are. And that would be my case for Patino and going hard after him. You're going to have to reboot anyway. Try to get yourself closer to that Big East mark. If you can get yourself in the Big East, I think you can hang on to a coach for a while. Certainly, there's some schools in the Big East that are career destinations for guys. UConn, St. John's right now at Patino. Creighton is a great job. There are some good schools in the Big East. Some good teams, some destination teams. I think it's about finding a way to be a part of that. I think Dayton probably comes in as well. It's a VCU-Dayton package if they go. Dayton didn't do itself any favors this year, but that's a rabid fan base, new geographic market for the Big East. And then it's all about whether the TV wants to spend or not. So those are a couple names. Donnie Lind at Mount St. Mary's, you're going to hear that name a lot as well in the coming days. But I got Theus and Patino circled. I think they kind of represent the two, it's not Angel and Dell, but it's the two guys on the shoulder. The one that says, find a coach who will stay here forever. Your VCU, stay in the family. And the other one that says, get a winner, make some noise, be on TV. And I'm not here to pick between the two, but I see the merits both ways. If I were here to pick between the two, I'd pick the winner. I hate going through this as much as everybody else, but I'd pick the winner. I really would. Lots of excitement brewing. We got to step aside. Obviously, if there's any breaking news, we'll get you right to it. You're listening to Richmond's Home for VCU Basketball. This is 910 The Fan. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM, always worldwide on the free Odyssey app. Bringing this thing home on a Monday morning. We'll send you out to Capitol Ale House in Innsbruck. AWOD Radio standing by for you 3 hours of all the latest. Here's the latest Monday morning. Here's the latest on the VCU coaching search. We're waiting. And we don't think for a minute that Eddie Mack's waiting. We think there's options here, right? Today's the day. I'm fully expecting movement today. I'd be really surprised if we're on the air tomorrow and it's not at least clear through the rumor mill who the guy is. Because the timing of Ryan Odom tells you he's known he's been gone for a while. you know, the deal didn't come together formally until the end. So I think that's important to note. Nobody was being disingenuous here. There was no signature on paper. There was no, you know, there was the handshake. There was that we want you. And obviously UVA had had the full year to search. And from Ed McLaughlin's perspective of VCU, he's known for a full year. His coach is likely gone at the end of the year to a better job. That's how it works here. And there's a ton of hype around Ryan Odom when he arrived, too, from the West Coast, right? And this is the stepping stone from the West Coast into a power conference now, especially if Richard Pitino is the guy. So Rick Pitino's kid coaches at New Mexico, by all accounts, trying to get back to the East Coast to get on the launching pad. Now, he's also been rumored to be associated with the Villanova search, which is a little bit of a wild search because they were also talking to Kevin Willard at Maryland, and that sounded like a near done deal. And then Willard gets the AD, Damon Evans, run out of town. And now he's in the Sweet 16 with Maryland. So that's an interesting search. So there could be a Villanova domino to fall first. But I have no doubts that Ed McLaughlin has his top three, his guys, if not somebody already in. And the Richard Pitino speculation, right? How real is that? It's real in the sense of this. I think everybody at VCU understands the need to keep winning, to keep having success, especially next year. One of the things we're going to talk about is it will have been a decade since these guys won an NCAA tournament game. Obviously, still playing at a high level, still drawing fans at a high level, still producing great basketball players at a high level. But, you know, the shine doesn't last forever. They're still a very strong national brand, but they need to sustain that success. I don't think there's room for a three-year project here at Coach. And not to suggest that anybody would be that. You know, the other name I've thrown out repeatedly is Darius Theus, who I think knows what it would take to be Coach. But he's not coming with a team. If they hire him, I think it's a solid move. I think it's a guy who could keep things steady, keep the fans on board, could sell you that he's going to be here for a while, because I do think he'd be here for a while. All of that, I think, is important, because the fans are ultimately buying the tickets and watching the games on TV and producing the money. The program needs to go on. So if they pick Theus, you're not going to hear a word of complaint out of me. This is a little bit like Adam Peters picking players. Like, Ed McLaughlin's on a heater. All he does is pick good coaches. So when he picks a coach, I default to saying, that's a good pick. Right? It's a little bit like, for a while there, whoever the Redskins drafted is like, hey, they drafted this guy. What do you think of him? I don't think he's going to pan out. Oh, what do you not like? Did you break down the tape? I didn't watch him at all. I just know, statistically speaking, 85% of these guys are bums because it's a bad organization. Now, Adam Peters, whoever he picks in the first round, when I'm on the radio 10 minutes later, what do you think of that pick, Michael? I like it. Why do you like it? You know, do you like his three-point stance? Do you like his 40 time? I like that Adam Peters picked him. I feel that way about Ed McLaughlin. What do you like about the next coach? I like that Ed McLaughlin picked him because he's got a track record of winners. But I think he understands the importance. And I think with Richard Pitino, too, it's not just the ability to bring a team, the ability to recruit at a high level immediately. I think it's also a little bit of showing something to the Big East. I really do. I think that's the only big move left to be made here. I know people are talking about, could you break away from the A-10? Could you have a little subset of the A-10 that plays each other more? Or, you know, bring in a Charleston or a Wilmington or a couple of power teams, powerful mid-major, low-major teams, build a little something around that. Yeah, you could. That's the deck chairs on the Titanic. Let's call that what it is. That's everybody understands that. That what it is, the next step for this team, you know, they leave the CAA and they make a step up to the A-10, but the A-10 has slid back to where the A-10's kind of where the CAA was at the end. Now, they still needed to make the move because the CAA is lower than the A-10 still right now, but it's a lot of moving to stay where you are. The next move is to the Big East. It's hard because you have to get them to want you. And I think bringing Richard Pitino would be a put everybody on notice kind of hire. I like the other names that are being mentioned. I like Russell Turner. I think going to the Hampton Sydney well has been very successful for a lot of people. I think Russell Turner, who's the coach at UC Irvine, had a great season, came one game short of the tournament out there against UC San Diego. That's your classic mid-major hire, right? Find a guy who's going to come in, and you know he's going to have success here. He's not going to be on national TV right out of the gate. Richard Pitino would be. That's a name, and I think that's the consideration here as we get to the final countdown, the final hours of this VCU coaching search. It happens quickly. We're doing both things today. If you're listening to the show, you know that. We're mourning Ryan Odom, and we're mourning that VCU can't keep a coach for more than a couple of years right now. But we're also, it's full speed ahead to what's next. And you can't get caught off guard, and you've got to rebuild. And this machine's relentless, man. It's a relentless sport. Recruiting season starts now. The transfer portal is open. Which is stupid in its own way. We'll have to devote another show to that. What sport allows players to move while the season's still going on? The NCAA is fully asleep at the wheel there. I will spare you that for another day, though. I'll tell you right now, I think we're going to hear news on the VCU coach today at some point. I'm glad our guy Awad is going to be on the air live for the next 3 hours. He's at Capital Ale House down in Innsbruck. Go have a drink with him. He's got stories from Denver. Look forward to cross-talking with him in a bit. For now, though, we'll hand it off to him. Dud weekend at the tournament sets up a big Sweet 16. We got baseball coming up this week, baseball opening day. Lots more to break down on the Commanders, too, who made a lot of moves while we were out. We'll leave it at that. If you missed anything, grab the podcast, MP on the Mic, on all major podcast platforms. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Thank you for joining us. AWOD Radio up next. You're listening to Richmond's home for VCU basketball. This is 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.